like that given to the investigator we're going to tell you about next week, as we bring you from the pages of the September issue of Astounding Science Fiction, Untitled Story. Dimension X is presented each week by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of the magazine Astounding Science Fiction. Today, Dimension X has presented The Vital Factor, written for radio by Howard Rodman from the story by Nelson Bond. Featured in the cast were Raymond Edward Johnson as Crowder, John McGovern as the engineer, and Louis Van Ruten as the Martian. Your host was Norman Rose. Music by Albert Berman. Dimension X is produced by William Welch and directed by Fred Way.
Dragnet, the story of your police force, is next on NBC.
Adventures in time and space, transcribed in future tense. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction, bring you Dimension X. The rocket drove through space like a silver fish in an endless tank, the stars in black velocity swirling by. Inside her case, tiny, finite specks of humanity controlled the tremendous power that impelled her so relentlessly toward the other galaxies. Who were these men? What mad, fantastic need and desire had caused them to abandon Mother Earth and venture to the ends of the universe?
Captain Hollis!
What is it, Stone?
Magnetic storm dead ahead, sir.
And the aperture?
About a 100-mile gap between elements, sir, but shifting rapidly.
Switch on the radar screen. Let's have a look.
Yes, sir. There are asteroids in it, Captain.
I see that. Thank you, Stone.
Sir?
What?
Any change in course?
What for?
The storm, sir.
If I decide to change course, I'll issue the order.
At the rate we're approaching, it'll be too late to issue an order.
Mr. Stone, do I need to remind you who's master of this ship?
Look, sir, there are 25 other lives to be considered besides your own. Those asteroids shift at our course.
That's enough, Stone.
It's not enough, Captain.
Return to your post.
Captain, for God's sake, don't be pig-headed about this. There's a magnetic storm dead ahead. Are you going to risk the lives of all of us just so you can hang your hat on some lousy interplanetary record? We know this means a lot to you. Sure, you can be fleet admiral if you beat those Asiatic ships to Venus. That's fine, but we value our lives.
I happen to value my life just as much as any man aboard this craft, Mr. Stone. But I wasn't brought up to be a lily-livered dare-nothing. Now get back to your post, or I'll have you court-martialed. Well, Mr. Stone?
Okay.
Okay what, Mr. Stone?
Okay, sir.
Impudent young pig.
Maybe he's right, Lewis.
Well, you stick to being ship's doctor. You're good at that. I'll navigate this fish.
You're the captain. Only I'd hate to pile up on some little asteroid, especially when a simple thing like changing course...
Simple thing? Do you know what a change in course would mean? The slightest deflection would throw us a million miles off at this speed. It would take days to get back on the vector. By that time, one of the Asiatic ships would have landed on Venus and claimed the whole blasted planet. We're in a race, Charles.
Well, suppose they did claim Venus. There's nothing but rocks and jungle anyway.
It isn't that. It's the idea of someone beating us.
You know, Lewis, I always get a little bit jittery when men are willing to die for symbols.
You're a cynic.
Maybe.
Get Mullis. Get Mullis.
Hollis, what is it, Lester?
Checking the radar tracking shows a foreign object dead ahead.
What?
Check your screen, sir.
Good Lord, the whole blasted storm has shifted dead on. Engine room.
Mission chamber.
Fire up your starboard cyclotron.
Aye, sir.
You can't make it in time, Lewis. Listen to that radar bounce.
Shut up.
Now hear this. Now hear this. Condition red. Fasten your spacesuit. Open the fission chamber. Emergency blast.
Aye, sir.
It beat off. Do you think we'll make it?
We've got to make it.
Oh, it's one of those asteroids the size of the ship.
Will you shut up?
It doesn't sound good, Lewis.
Another 5 seconds. Four. Three. Two.
No, it's a meteorite. Good God. Look out!
You?
Who is it?
Captain Hollis.
What happened?
We struck an asteroid. Ship blew up.
Is anybody else alive?
I don't know. I can see some spacesuits floating in space not far from me, but I don't know if they're alive.
Maybe they just don't hear us.
Their radios are working, they do.
Hello? Hello, somebody?
Doc, is that you?
Lewis?
Yes.
Thank God. Anybody else alive?
Stone.
Hello, Doctor. Oh. Are you all right? Okay so far.
That's three of us, anyway.
Lewis.
Yes?
We seem to be moving away from each other.
Yeah, that's right. I can hardly see you now.
It's the momentum. We were all thrown in different directions. Since there's no friction, we'll pick up speed.
Isn't there some way we could stick together at least?
I'm afraid not.
If there's no friction, then there's nothing to stop us.
That's right, Stone.
But then we'll just keep falling, maybe forever.
Not forever. You'll fall until you get into one of the gravitational fields of some planet. After that, you'll fall toward the planet.
Mother in heaven, what a way to die.
Nobody's going to die. Those Asiatic ships will be along this way. We can radio to them when they get in range.
Aren't you forgetting something, Lewis?
What's that?
The commanders of those other ships may not be quite so willing to run through a magnetic storm. They may have altered course. If they have, they won't come within a million miles of us.
We'll have to take our chances on that.
It's a long way down. A long, long way down.
Let's have no talk of that kind, Stone.
I don't want to die.
Stone, I said can it.
Can it yourself?
What?
You heard me. This is a mutiny of one. Don't try to put your rank on me now, mister. You'll be 10,000 miles away in another hour.
Oh, help me. I'll have you court-martialed when we're picked up.
Let's not kid ourselves. Nobody's going to be picked up. I've got a few things to get off my chest before we lose contact with each other. Don't let it drop.
Let him talk.
Thanks. Your ship was a bad ship, and you were a bad captain. And I hope you break when you hit the moon.
Thanks for the goodwill, Stone.
That isn't all. I believe there are different kinds of deaths, Captain. Just as there are different kinds of lives. Yours should be pretty interesting because you've been dead for years. So,
let him.
When was the last time you had an honest human feeling, Captain? I'll bet you don't even remember when. I don't think you're capable of any kind of strong feeling. Do you have a wife, Captain? I'll bet she won't miss you one bit. Children?
I have a son, a little boy.
Maybe he'll grow up to be a hero like his daddy. A tin hero with a piece of stone where other men have hearts.
Are you quite finished?
I've said it. Well, so long, Doc.
So long?
I'm headed for the sun. Somehow I don't like the idea of falling into the sun. I'm going to take a quicker way out.
No, Stone, don't be a fool.
I'm going to smash the faceplate on my helmet and let the oxygen escape.
Stone, don't do it. We're going to be rescued. Stone.
See you all in some other universe?
God have mercy.
He was headed for the sun. I can barely see him now.
Looks like Mercury for me. How about you, Lewis?
I'm headed for... Earth. Funny, isn't it? That I should be going back to Mother Earth this way. I'm nothing but a human meteor, Charles. When I hit the Earth's atmosphere, I'll burn like a match. Charles. Charles, can you still hear me?
I can hear you. It's getting fainter now. We must be several thousand miles apart.
We should be able to talk for another 20 minutes or so at the speed we're falling away from each other.
What are you thinking about, Willis?
I was thinking about Stone. What he said.
Don't let it get you.
You know, in a way, he was right.
He was insane. The shock knocked him off balance.
No. Each of us dies in a different way. Each of us has his own life to look back on. Huh? I don't know. It sounds like... Lester!
Hello? Hello, Lester! Can you hear us?
I don't think so. It's possible that the sending unit of this radio is working, but the receiving unit is damaged.
Singing good stuff to keep up the nerves.
We can hear him.
Poor devil may have forgotten to switch on his receiving unit.
Well, there are three of us again anyway.
There isn't much comfort. Maybe Stone's away is best.
Don't be a fool. They're going to be picked up.
I doubt
it. They must. I must. I have too much to accomplish in life to die like this. A fellow like Stone or Lester, they come a dime a dozen. If I was in line to be commander of the whole fleet, you know what that means, Charles? Commander of the Hemisphere.
No, I don't know what it means. I never wanted to be commander of anything but myself. And I never even came close to that.
Helen was counting on it. Stevie, too, in his own little way.
It's hardest for Helen. Stevie's too young to understand.
He'll know. He'll know his daddy went out with a ship. Like a man. They'll give him a medal.
Lewis, I'm beginning to think that maybe Stone was right about you.
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing.
No, Charles. I want to know. We've shipped together a good many years. You never told me what you really think of me, whether or not you've envied my success. I'd like to know now. We've nothing to do but talk anyway.
I have never envied anything except the fact that you're falling back to Earth, Lewis. I've admired you as I admire some sort of perfect machine. But that's where it stopped. You know the trouble with you, Lewis?
Well?
You can't cry.
What?
You can't cry.
Well, men don't cry, only children.
That's what I mean, Lewis. You can't cry.
I don't know what the devil you're babbling about.
Skip it.
Now, look here. There's one thing...
I had a wife on Mars. I had a wife on Jupiter. And I had a wife on Venus. Everyone made money and treated me so well.
What's he babbling about?
I don't know. He seems to be reminiscing about his life.
I had some nice times, I did. Oh, it's Roxy. She didn't know about any of them others. Roxy. Married 15 years and she still looked like a schoolgirl. And there's a boy, too. What are you doing now? He likes his heart in some mischief.
Simple soul.
Too simple.
I envy him.
Why?
because he has all that to hang on to. Women always frighten me. I ran for them. Always wanting them and jealous of men like Lester for having them. And jealous of him for being able to spend money without fear and for as much happiness as he could have in his own wild way. Haven't you ever wanted that?
Don't be a fool.
The difference between us and Lester is that he lives in the present. He gets into the experience of the moment. You and I, Lewis, we live in the past and in the future, but never in the present.
Could we change the subject?
I thought you wanted to talk.
Well, let's talk about something else. Charles? Charles? Charles, are you there? Charles, answer me!
I just switched my auxiliary battery. I'm sorry.
Well, don't... Don't do that.
Afraid to be alone?
I've never been afraid of anything in my life, and you know it.
I wonder.
It's a long way back down.
Why doesn't he shut up?
Lewis.
What?
Lewis, I got myself into a meteor swarm. Some little asteroid.
Meteors?
I think it's that Myrmidon cluster that goes out past Mars, then swings in towards Earth once every 5 years. I'm right in the middle of it now. It's like a big kaleidoscope. All kinds of colors and shapes and sizes. God, it's beautiful, all that metal. I'm going with them. They're taking me with them. Well, I'll be doggone. Remember when you were a kid, Lewis? Held a kaleidoscope to your eye and gave it a twirl? That's what I'm part of now.
Keep talking. I can barely hear you now.
They're taking me off, Lewis. So long.
Charles! Charles, don't leave me alone like this! Charles! Me. Look at what I've accomplished.
Roxy.
You, floating there, languishing over some skinny, misbegotten slut of a wife.
Roxy.
My wife is beautiful. Understand? Beautiful. Like marble.
Well,
like chiseled marble.
You'll find yourself another man. She'll have some more good time.
No, she won't. She'll be faithful to my memory. Helen! Helen, you will be faithful, won't you? You'll never forget me.
It's a long way.
I won't listen. I switched off my radio. There, that's better. You're alone now, Captain Hollis. Alone with yourself. And your thoughts and your memories. Going back to Earth like a human rocket and remembering.
Lewis, is that you?
Yes, Helen, it's me.
I've missed you.
Have you?
Didn't you know?
But I thought... I mean, we quarreled.
Oh, I've forgotten about that.
I had some trouble, Helen.
We won't talk about it. You're home now. That's the important thing. Stevie is so excited.
Stevie, where is he?
Right here, darling. Stevie!
Hello, son.
You're going to stay with us this time, aren't you, Daddy? You're going to stay home and we'll go fishing and play pool together, just like you promised.
Well, Stevie...
I'm catching fish on that. Would you like to see them?
Yes, I would, son.
I'll go up and get them. I've got them in my room. Don't go away, Dad. I'll be right back.
I won't go away. He's quite a little guy, isn't he?
I'm glad you're finally getting together with him.
What? What do you mean, Helen?
You've always been so, well, detached from him. Steve is a sensitive little creature. All he ever wanted from you, really, was just a little affection and respect, Louis. Just a little respect for the things he felt and wanted.
I've been a good father. Nobody can ever say I haven't been a good father. Certainly not you, not after what happened.
Don't get defensive, Louis, please. I'm trying to bring us a little closer together.
I've given him everything a boy should have. Toys, boxing gloves. I've taught him to hunt and take care of himself.
Yes, you've done all those things.
Well, then.
It's just, well, sometimes when he's come to you, he feels so alone. All he wants is for you to put your arms around him and reassure him, that's all.
He's going to be a man. I don't want him to be soft.
What is it, Louis? What is there about being soft that you despise?
Sissy's a soft.
Christ was soft.
Now, don't start that business again, will you?
I'm trying to make you understand, please.
I understand what you're trying to do. You're like all of them. They want to make you a woman. Like them. They want to drain you of your manhood so they can control you. Manipulate you.
You won't understand, will you? You won't trust me or anybody else, including yourself.
Now you're talking bellywash again.
Oh, let's not build that wall between us, Louis. Not this time. I had it all planned when you came back. We'd get out on the beach. Remember the spot where we used to swim? In the moonlight, you can see the water all luminous and green. And then we could have a picnic supper there, just you and Stevie and me. Stevie could sleep on the blanket. We could go for a swim. Maybe we could recapture it, Louis. It wasn't always like this. Maybe if we went back.
I'm sorry, Helen. I'd like to, really. But I'm shipping out tonight.
Tonight?
I've got a new command, new ship. Having lunch with the Admiral this afternoon.
But you said you'd stay.
This is an important thing, Helen. This is the most important thing that ever happened to me.
More important than going for a swim.
You don't get a chance of being fleet commander every day. You can go for a swim anytime.
Yes, but we never do.
Now look, honey. Ever since I was a cadet, I've been pointing toward this job. It's big. If I'm a success, you can name your own ticket. Big house up in Connecticut. Chauffeur. Find a school for Steve.
I want you, Louis.
Now, don't be unreasonable.
Don't you be unemotional.
What?
I said don't be unemotional.
I don't understand.
No, I don't suppose you ever will.
Let's not quarrel. Why do we always end up quarreling? Well, it's almost time now.
Louis, let's try once more.
Goodbye, Helen. Say goodbye to the boy. Helen. Where are you, Helen? Helen. Oh, no, I must be going out of my mind. The whole thing was nothing but a dream. If only I had someone to talk to.
Captain Lewis, is that you?
Lester?
Yes.
No, it's just another part of the same nightmare.
Captain Lewis, sir. Can you hear me?
Why must I be tortured like this?
Captain, if you can hear me, for heaven's sakes, answer. I found a tube loose in this receiver. I can hear you talking to yourself.
Lester, is it really you?
Yes, sir. Thank heavens, Captain. Are any of the others still alive?
Stone went to the sun. Dr. Carter went off with a meteor swarm. The others are scattered all over the universe by now. I've headed right for Earth. I'll be in the orbit soon.
It's good to hear your voice, sir. I was going insane all by myself here. Seems like I've been singing and talking the old bloody night.
We heard you. I'm glad we can reach one another.
Yeah, me too, sir.
Are you really glad, Lester? I should think you'd hate and despise me.
What, sir?
I could have saved us all by changing course.
Well, the way I see it, Captain, you did what you believed in. That's the way each of us has to do.
Thank you, Lester.
How long do you figure we got, sir?
Not long, I'm afraid. At least not me.
It's a terrible thing, ain't it, Captain? I mean, knowing you're going to die and not being able to do anything.
At least you've got pleasant memories.
Me, sir? No, I never amounted to a hill of beans. I should think you'd have some good thoughts to remember yourself.
I never lived, Lester.
Sir?
It's true, I never lived.
But you were wise.
We were strangers. We never knew each other.
A son?
A son. Lester, would you believe it if I told you I'd never put my arms around the boy and let him know how much I loved him?
Oh, it's hard to believe, sir.
It's true.
It's odd to hear you talking like this, Captain. I always envied you your position. You were commander.
I thought so, too, but I know better now. My whole life was nothing but a running away from my own feelings. I had everything I really wanted. All I had to do was reach out my hand. There was Helen, Stevie, Pleasures. And I turned my back and looked at the stars. When they came to me filled with their love and their warmth, I ran. I fled to the stars and to the ends of the universe. It was all so wrong. How do things like that happen to us, Lester?
I don't know, sir.
We were going to be divorced, Helen and I.
Oh?
Stupid, idiotic.
Well, maybe you'll be picked up, Captain. There's lots of spaceships taking off from Earth. Maybe one of them will reach you before you hit the atmosphere.
I dare to hope. We aren't that lucky, Lester. Not many get a second chance.
Well, keep hoping.
I can see you now, Lester. Mother Earth, big and green and rich. Won't be more than a few minutes at this rate. Oh, if there was something.
Captain, are you still there?
Yes, I can feel the friction starting now. I'll burn in a minute. And I'll be scattered like ashes all across the land. Funny, that's a useful act, isn't it? To help other things grow?
No, I don't talk like that, Captain.
I'm sorry, Lester. You're a good man. I hope they rescue you.
Well, I believe you're a good man, Captain.
Maybe, Lester. Maybe I am, after all.
Oh, you just got a bit twisted, Tommy. That's all. It wasn't your
blame. No, it wasn't my blame. Funny.
Sir?
I feel a sense of calm now. Almost relief. Did you ever get out of a cold shower and feel like a new man? Clean and ready for breakfast and a new day? I have a feeling like that. It's a beautiful old earth, Lester. Good to go home. I wonder if anyone will see me.
Emma.
I just wanted to see the ocean and the stars. Are you cold?
No. Mom?
Yes, darling.
When's Dad coming back?
I don't know, Steve. I don't know.
Mom?
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter between you and Dad?
Nothing. Oh, nothing you'd understand.
Don't you love each other?
I suppose in a way we do. It used to be quite different. Long ago, when you were a tiny, tiny baby, your father and I used to come down here and swim at night. I was the first girl he ever loved. And then somehow, something happened. He got frightened or something and we sort of lost each other.
Oh.
Come here, Steve.
What's wrong, Mom?
Oh, I just feel a little chill. Perhaps we'd better be getting back. It's almost your bedtime.
Okay, Mom. Mom, look up there. A falling star.
Yes, I see it.
Just fell right this way. Did you see it, Mom? A falling star.
Make a wish, son. Make a wish.
You've just heard another adventure into the unknown world of the future. The world of...
Thank you.
Next is presented transcribed each week by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of the magazine Astounding Science Fiction. Today, Dimension X has presented Kaleidoscope, written for radio by George Leffert from the story by Ray Bradbury. Featured in the cast were Joe DeSanto as the captain, Leon Janney as Lester, and Joan Alexander as Helen. Your host was Norman Rose.
That Grand Canyon hippie love-in is all washed up. For one thing, sponsors were afraid of what might happen when border guards in Arizona found the usual supply of dope that follows such a crowd, not to mention peyote plants. And besides, there's no food or water facilities within 80 miles of the proposed place.
Well, it was generally considered that it was an unwise undertaking at this time. And everyone was grateful that the thing has been called off.
Meanwhile, L.A. County supervisors are worried that such activities as Digger's Free Food Service at Ferndale will attract Frisco hippies. That would be, in the words of Supervisor Debs, outrageous.
Adventures in Time and Space. Transcribed in future tense.
Dimension X.
The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction, bring you Dimension X. The war had been going on for generations. The sea and air were ruled by guided atomic missiles, radiations, and total destruction drove man underground. And there the war continued. The great beds of shale and limestone trembled as an underground cruiser chewed its way through the ageless rock. The ship was squat, ugly, the top of its cutting head 40 feet above the clattering caterpillar treads. It was windowless, and behind the grinding duralloy blades were ugly lumps that concealed the guns. On the bridge, Commander Sanderson fought the bucking vibration, one hand tight on a stanchion.
Culver.
Aye, sir.
What's wrong with the insulation? It's hotter than oven up here.
Port refrigeration unit went out. Starboard can't carry the load. I've got damage control on it.
Oh, go back.
Aye, sir.
Give me a seismo reading.
Severe shock 30 seconds back. Change course to 175 degrees. And half speed, please, sir, till I can chart the strata.
Mr. Culver.
Aye, sir.
175, half speed.
Aye, sir.
Navigation, Lieutenant Watson.
Bridge here. Change course to 175, Watson.
175. Aye, sir.
Clark.
Yes, Mr. Watson.
New course, 175.
175, aye.
Half speed.
Half speed, aye.
What?
We hit something. What is it, Mr. Watson?
It's lava, probably. Maybe it doesn't mean anything.
No, I guess not. Mr. Watson.
Yes, Clark?
Are we ever going to get out of here?
You mean the lava?
The whole business. We've been under rock for 3 months.
You better keep quiet, Clark. Psycho officer has rubber heels.
Oh, I don't care about Carpenter. He's been over me already with those stinking reaction tests. If he gives me one more ink blot to look
at, I'll... your dial? 1 degree correction.
Right. Mr. Watson, what was it like?
Huh? When?
On the surface. I never saw the surface. I was born in the Denver Cave, half a mile down.
Well, that was a long time ago, Clark.
Yeah. But you remember, don't you? You and Kovacs are the only ones on the ship who remember the surface.
It was war then, too. Kovacs was in the army, the infantry. The queen of battles. Well, the queen's dead now.
What was it like?
You mean in the surface wars?
Yeah.
Well, they had chaplains and...
Chaplains?
I guess you never heard of that. Now we have psycho officers. Yeah, they don't talk about religion much these days.
It must have been something on the surface. I dream about that. I don't know what it was really like, but I dream about it. Then somebody takes me and shoves me down in the bottom of a hot closet. And they shove a big hand over my mouth and I can't breathe. I wake up and I want to bust out of here with my fingernails. I just...
What's the matter, Clark?
Nothing, Dr. Carpenter.
Nothing?
No, sir.
We were just passing the time, Carpenter.
When's the last time you had an emotional reaction test, Watson?
I don't know. I forgot.
Just remember your seniority doesn't exempt you from psychiatric review. This isn't some slipshod surface vessel with organized superstition aboard.
The old chaplains weren't so bad.
Not scientific.
You know, I can remember when psychiatry and mental hygiene were the hope of mankind. Now look at it.
That goes in my report, Watson.
Yeah? Well, make sure you spell my name right.
Now hear this. Now hear this. Attention, all hands. Igneous rock detected. Fresh lava flow. Stand by to go to quarters.
You're lucky, Watson.
That is all.
I'll finish with you later. I've got to check combat detachment.
Sure, sure. Go play with your ink blots. I'm busy.
Go on,
get out of the way. Get down to the combat detachment. They'll be happy to see you. Clark, check those dampers.
I'll take three cards.
I'll stand pat.
Jake to the pat hand.
Combat detachment, huh? What kind of a chicken guy are you?
Anytime you want to start anything, you lying, yelling,
all right, all right. Don't flip your wig.
All right, I don't want no trouble. That rubber-soled rat carpenter, he's worked us all over.
Yeah, all except Norman. Hey, Norman. Norman, how come you ain't been psycho?
I don't need it. I'm stable.
I bet you any money he's a stoolie for Carpenter. I've seen his 201 personnel file. It's blank.
I heard a guy say he was born in a lab.
What do you mean?
You ever seen him eat?
Oh, you're crazy.
The science brass has been working on something like that.
You're crazy.
You know how many men they fell short in the last draft? 900,000.
So what?
Now, suppose you run out of real men for soldiers. Suppose you figure how to make them. Artificial. If they ever do, they ain't going to talk about it until it's combat tested.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Hey, Newman, what do you got inside of you? Gears?
I'm not supposed to talk about myself.
Yeah? Well, suppose I make you talk.
Hey, sit down, Chip. Sit down.
All right, let go of me or I'll lay you out, too.
Hey, cut it.
Keep your hands
off.
Sure.
At ease, men. Well, how's everybody feeling? You coke?
All right. I'm all right, sir.
Uh-huh. Sheehan?
Go.
Sheehan?
I'm all right, sir.
Norman?
I'm all right, sir.
Of course. Very well, carry on.
Miss Anderson, I have my report.
Later, Carpenter.
It's rather important, sir. Serious personnel trouble is indicated below.
It always is. Give your report to Culver. I'm busy.
But, sir...
Go back, give me a GO reading.
Aye, sir. Straight as steady as before.
Mr. Culver.
Later.
If you will initial the psycho report.
All right, hurry up. This is no time for non-combat chicken.
Seismal reading, sudden fault, igneous activity ahead.
That means the enemy. Mr. Culver?
Aye, sir.
Elevate the cutters 25 degrees. We're going up and come on the enemy from above.
Aye, sir.
Navigation, Watson.
Elevate 25 degrees.
25 elevation. Aye, sir.
Figures ahead on sonar. Sounds like three.
All right. Sound general quarters.
Aye, sir.
All right, general quarters.
I have all this thinking luck. Aces I got.
Get into your armor, you tub of lust.
Yeah, give me a hand, Sheehan. The oxygen valve on my helmet's stuck. It's too tight. Helmet's too tight.
You eat too much.
At least I eat. Not like Norman.
Yeah, look at him. Full armor and he's still smoking. I bet he lives on nicotine. Hey, Newman.
Yes?
You live on nicotine?
Tobacco is necessary to me.
Say that, a rope. What did I tell you?
All right, shut up and test your helmet radio. Snap it down.
Okay.
Now I'll get mine.
Can you hear me? Is my intercom okay?
Okay. Keep the power up.
Newman, check your intercom.
I can hear you.
Attention,
Attention, combat detachment, move out.
Where are those chow runners with battle breakfast?
Breakfast, huh? I can remember when I had meat in the chow. When I had cooks instead of food chemists, first class.
Quit griping, Coke. At least we eat.
Yeah, we eat. How about him? Want any breakfast, Norman?
No. I don't need breakfast. I can wait without it.
Navigation, Watson.
Bridge here. Half speed. Half speed.
Half speed, aye. Clark?
What?
What's the matter? You got the shakes?
No, I'm all right.
Half speed.
Half speed, aye.
Attention, all hands. Enemy digger sighted.
What? Huh?
Prepare for action at close quarters. Enemy digger sighted.
You hear that, Watson?
Prepare for action at close quarters.
Full speed forward.
No, I won't.
What? Come on, full speed forward.
No. Not another inch. Stop this ship.
Get away from there.
Let me go. I've got to stop the ship. I won't be killed. I won't. I won't be killed.
Get away from the controls, Clark. Are you hurt? All right, take it easy now.
Watson, I've got a gun. Stop the ship. Stop it before I shoot you.
Now take it easy, boy.
I won't be killed. I won't let him. Give you three, Watson, then I shoot.
You don't know what you're doing.
I'm gonna stop the ship. One, two.
You could have wounded him, Carpenter. That would have been enough.
My judgment was that Clark was more than a marginal risk. I acted accordingly.
Sure. I'll get a detail to clean up after you.
Well, Doctor, the commander says you rate a citation.
If you had read my report, Mr. Culver, you'd understand.
Carpenter.
Aye, sir.
Don't let the crew hear of this. Wouldn't do for them to know an officer was emotionally unstable.
You won't keep it quiet, sir. There was a detail to remove the body.
What's that?
Enemy digger within 100 feet, coming in fast.
Hold it, Culver. Don't reverse engines. Turn on the drill with the treads stationary.
Aye, sir.
Full speed drill. Treads cut out. Blow up a cloud of dust that'll blind their optical technician in the infrared. Stand by, gunnery. Stand by, gunnery.
Ready, sir.
Enemy will be breaking through any second. There it is. Halt drill blades. Navigation. Cut out drill. Cut out drill. Fire when ready. Fire.
Contact signal. Contact signal received.
Cease fire, Mr. Culver. Contact signal. Cease fire.
Enemy battery silent, sir.
Give the go-ahead to the combat men. They can move in. Who tripped that alarm? Cut it off.
Navigation to bridge.
Bridge, aye. What's wrong down there? Why the emergency?
The atomic pile's kicking up. We can't get into hand damp. She may blow any minute.
I'll take over, Mr. Culver. Prepare to abandon ship.
But the enemy digger, sir...
With the atomic pile about to blow, we'll have to advance, destroy the enemy, and take refuge in their ship. There's nothing else we can do. Look alive.
Aye, sir. Attention, all hands.
All hands.
Prepare to abandon ship. Prepare to abandon ship. Kovacs, have the ship's records packed and ready to go.
Aye, sir.
Commander?
Watson, what are you doing up here?
There'd be a lot more chance of getting out if the ship's engines were reversed. She crawled back down the tunnel before she blew.
There's no way to set up remote control.
I know. I thought I could stay and run her.
But the pile's going to blow.
I know.
All right, Lieutenant. Permission granted. You may stay with the ship.
Thank you, sir.
You may go, Watson.
Aye, sir.
We can't let him do that, Commander. You can't ask any man to do that.
This is no time for sentiment, Mr. Culver.
Doctor, you're a louse.
That's an unstable statement, Culver. It's obvious that Watson isn't worth much anyway. He might as well die.
I've heard enough, Doctor. You've had this coming a long time.
Get away from me.
Culver!
Pearson, get him!
Let go of me, Culver!
Yes, sir!
All right, Kovacs. Release him.
Aye, sir.
Mr. Culver, I need you now, but if we come through this, I'll be forced to prefer charges. Kovacs, help Dr. Carpenter up.
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Culver. Give the order to abandon ship.
Kovacs. Full speed in reverse.
Aye, Mr. Watson. How long have we got before the pile blows?
I don't know. Kovacs, why did you stay here? You could have abandoned ship with the others.
I've been saving a cigar. Hmm? I got two. Would you like one?
Oh, thanks. Oh, that's good. You didn't answer my question, Kovacs. Why did you stay?
How about you, sir?
Me? I was in the last class out of Annapolis before it went underground and merged into the Geo Warfare Academy. I guess I just hang on to illusions. Dead traditions of service. Now, I suppose I did it because I thought it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I guess that's it when you get down to it.
Kovacs, you saved a cigar against the rules. I've got something, too, here. It's a book. I stole it out of a hotel room in Frisco in the old days.
A Bible?
Yeah. Psycho officers don't allow them on board. Carpenter would have had me in the cells if he'd known about it.
There goes the Geiger alarm.
It'll blow any minute now. Kovacs, you remember this? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
All right, guys. Now you know what an enemy underground cruiser looks like. Let's board her.
What was that, Chief?
I don't know. Come on. The enemy left their landing trap down.
Let's go.
Look out. That's Fontaine. I kicked in his faceplate.
Watch out for my gun recoil when I go up the ladder. They may be waiting for us.
Where are they? Ought to be some resistance.
Let's get outside. We can sneak into the bridge. We got them. Here it is. Bridge hatch.
I don't like this. They should have been guards.
Forget that. You throw open the hatch. I'll cover him with a gun. Got your voice speaker on?
Right.
Okay, open. Go ahead, man!
Copel, look at them. They're all dead. Every one of them.
This one did it with a sword. Can you beat that? Killed himself with a sword.
Confound this foreign equipment.
Culver, how soon can we get this enemy ship underway? Give me the damage report.
Aye, sir. The port tread knocked out, armor breached aft in the midships, gun batteries inoperable. Lieutenant Adamson estimates we can make limited headway in 2 days.
Very well.
Sir, is it necessary for me to have this guard tagging after me?
You're under arrest, Culver.
Excuse me, Commander, sir.
Oh, go ahead, Coke.
There was a message or something under the guy with a sword when I broke in. I kept it as, well, sort of a souvenir.
Oh, give it to me.
I didn't mean anything wrong, sir.
Hand it over. Culver, you read the enemy language.
I'm afraid I'm under arrest as a prisoner.
That'll do. Go ahead, read it.
From Supreme Headquarters. There's a code designate. To all field commanders. Subject. Secret weapon. X-39. Failure of. 1. Research project X-9 free. No. Released on South America front last night. X-9, a semi-living chemical process attacking all forms of protoplasm, was found to be uncontrollable, is spreading through our own armies all over the world. 2, you are instructed to...
Well?
That's all, sir.
Quiet! Gentlemen, there is only one way to interpret this news. Carpenter, you will inform all hands that
The destruction of the enemy is worldwide. The war is over.
Hey, Newman, why don't you laugh, huh? Why don't you shout? The war's over.
I don't need to shout.
Hey, Dr. Carpenter.
Aye, sir.
You will instruct Cook to serve double rations as a celebration.
No, sir. I strongly advise against it. The psychiatric implications are...
What's the matter?
I don't know. Something I... It's inside me. I've got to get out.
Carpenter! Cook, Newman, go after him.
Ah!
Come on.
No, that can't happen to a man. Not that.
It's Carpenter. You can see that.
But that can't happen to a man.
He's dissolved. What's going on here?
You don't understand, Commander. You didn't listen to that enemy message. A semi-living chemical process attacking all forms of protoplasm. All forms. Carpenter, and you and me. You understand why the enemy killed themselves. They knew. The war's over, all right.
There's got to be something to do. Culver, Sound General Quarters!
It's too late for that, Commander. The war's over. They invented the perfect weapon. The human race is dissolved. That's funny. Dissolved like Carpenter. Newman. Is that you?
Yes.
They're all dead. Aren't they?
Yes. Commander Sanderson was the last...
me.
I suppose so.
How about you, Newman?
It will not affect me. I am not made of protoplasm. I am an inorganic synthesis.
You can't die, then?
No. I am atomic powered. My breakdown point is calculated in thousands of years. I cannot destroy myself. I was conditioned against it.
It's beginning. You'll be all alone, Newman.
I know.
Buried alive in the rock for thousands of years. I'm sorry for you, Newman. I'm sorry. You'll be all alone. Now, it's starting.
Why can't I die? Why didn't they make me so I can die like the others? I can't even kill myself. Why can't I die? Why can't I die?
Man has always told himself that he was master of the machine. But will he always be? Listen next week for the story of A Nightmare.
Dimension X is transcribed each week by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of the magazine Astounding Science Fiction. Today, Dimension X has presented The Last Objective, written for radio by Ernest Canoy from the story by Paul Carter. Featured in the cast were Lawson Zerbe as Culver, Ralph Bell as Dr. Carpenter, Wendell Holmes as Watson, and Jack Grimes as Newman. Your host was Norman Rose. Music by Bert Berman. Engineer George Mathis. Dimension X is produced by William Welch and directed by Edward King.
Dimension X came to you from our Radio City studios in New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Big 93.
Tonight on Boss City, my guest star from the Rams, Deacon Jones singing, Sajid Khan, Cal Sill singing number one, Tom Paul and the Glazer Brothers. Tonight, 6 o'clock on TV9.
Don't you dare change that dial. Coming up next is the Saturday Morning Show, just for you on CKUW.